In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is, I believe, at times difficult for us to truly comprehend the blessings that have been bestowed upon us by being able to share in the life of our Lord. St. Paul reminds the Romans that it is through the sacrament of baptism that they enter fully into the whole Paschal mystery, sharing not only in the death of our Lord, but precisely by sharing in that death, being able to likewise share in the newness of life that he provides. The early church fathers spent an extensive amount of time speaking and writing about the theology of baptism, precisely because it is the entrance, the gateway into the unfolding of the riches and the treasures that God bestows upon us through the gift of his Son. This is why baptism is so central to the life of faith. Those who remain unbaptized, as much as they may throw themselves upon the mercy of God, still do not have access to the fullness of life that God desires for them. We are uncomfortable in speaking about this because it requires from us an ongoing posture of evangelization, seeking conversion. Everyone needs to be a believer in Christ in order that the fullness of life in God will truly be in them. This is not a question of speculation, nor an issue of some triumphalism. At the very heart of the human existence is this relationship with God, and the fullness of that is contained in relationship with our Lord, and the entrance into that relationship is by being grafted unto him in the sacrament of baptism. That's just one of the words that the early church fathers used to talk about the intimacy that is forged in the sacrament of baptism. We are grafted unto the Lord. We are drawn into the very heart of God himself. God penetrates our very existences. We share in and become partakers in. And those aren't exhaustive of what truly happens to us in the sacrament of baptism. This is why St. Paul goes on to remind the Romans, because you have been baptized into his death, and therefore you have shared likewise into the glories of new life, you can no longer live to sin. Our motivation then for putting aside sin is no longer fear of condemnation, although that does still exist, but more importantly, because knowing we have been loved and how much love we actually have received, we seek to love in return. All of this happens because of baptism. Grace poured out upon grace, St. Paul reminds us, in order that in those moments when we might be tempted to sin, grace is available to us to give us the strength to resist. And then our gospel reminds us of the beauty of the Most Holy Eucharist. Eucharist, of course, is the sacrament of sacraments. But unless one is grafted unto the Lord, then he or she cannot present themselves at the altar, the table, the banquet of the Lord. Many are called, the Lord reminds us, but few are chosen. And now, in a very real sense, brothers and sisters, the exhortation to evangelization becomes even more poignant, because not only must one be baptized, to have the fullness of life in Christ, one also must eat his flesh and drink his blood in order that they might have life and have it abundantly. These are non-negotiables. This is not theological speculation or theological opinion. It is at the heart of our existence as Catholic men and women. Does this mean we need to leave our homes and go to far-flung lands in order to convert the heathen and the pagan? If God calls us to do so, then be on your way. But the heathen and the pagan oftentimes lives under our own roof, or is in our own family, or ones with whom we have relationship, or brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, grandchildren who have left and abandoned the practice of the faith. You don't need to look far to find those who need to hear the message of truth proclaimed to them yet again, that indeed if they have been baptized, then they must cleanse themselves to receive the Lord, and if they have not been baptized, then they must be baptized in order that they can take advantage of the banquet the Lord calls them to. We know that the feeding of the multitudes, both in Mark's gospel and in Matthew's gospel, is also a reminder of what the Lord is going to do for us in giving us the gift of the Eucharist. feeding not only these 4,000 and then 5,000, but also feeding the multitudes, almost as many as the stars themselves, giving us the gift of himself in order that that new life that he bestows upon us in baptism will remain nourished and sustained and alive. The real question, this is a question I ask myself on a daily basis, maybe multiple times a day, if indeed I find myself struggling with sin and temptation, frustration, anxiety, doubt, despair, whatever it is that might beset me. The question I ask myself is, do I actually believe what it is that I am proclaiming to you, what I hear in sacred scripture, what I celebrate at the altar of sacrifice and the living God that I receive? At every single juncture, the Lord puts me to the test and asks me, do you actually believe? Because, brothers and sisters, if I did, or more importantly, if you do, then our lives would look radically different than they actually are. And we would be less beset by the vagaries of the human condition and the temptations of the world, because our strength would be in God and Him alone. And if we believe that all that I am saying and all that the church teaches us is merely pious platitudes, then this is not the place for you. And coming to receive the Lord is not something you should do. Because to present yourself for Holy Communion is to commit yourself to embracing and living this life of baptism and living it well, in order that by putting aside sin, you can present yourself worthily to receive the living God. Now, with that exhortation, there's likewise the awareness that indeed we do sin. All the more reason for us to take advantage as often as we need to of the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. If the holy men and women who've gone before us saw fit to go frequently, daily for some, weekly for most, how can we, in a sense, keep ourselves away from the tribunal of mercy, knowing and being aware of our sins? Certainly mortal sin, run to the sacrament. But even venial sin, on a regular basis, approaching and asking for mercy, throwing yourself upon the largesse of God who loves you, knowing that he wants and desires to bestow that mercy upon you, so that the very life that he's bestowed upon you, you may continue to live. But the question with I leave you, the conviction that I ask you to contemplate, is do you actually believe this? I don't follow you home. I don't check up on you throughout the week. I don't know what all you do with your life or how you might live it in the world. And so I can only ask for, or encourage maybe, an integrity, closing the gap, if you will, between the man or woman that you are by virtue of baptism and the person oftentimes that you fall short in actually being. Grace is there to give you the very strength you need to close the gap, that you might be truly the child of God that you are by virtue of baptism. And then you willingly take up your cross and follow after the Lord, because you know that in every moment when you suffer with the Lord, you likewise live in new life with the Lord. This is real, and it is true, and it must be the very foundation by which our existences are governed. And so, as we ourselves are dismissed and go forth to proclaim this good news, let us be mindful first of what is required of us, is that we live this well in our daily lives, truly understanding the dignity that has been bestowed upon us and the nourishment we receive in the living God. And then, aware of that dignity and blessed by the food that nourishes us, we also take up the mantle to go forth and to proclaim and to evangelize and to work for the transformation of minds and hearts of those who do not know, or more importantly, those who do, but instead have turned a blind eye to truth. And in all of this, brothers and sisters, God is there first, last, always, to assist us and give us the strength we need to witness to this truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.